Jimmy Cliff, Jamaica's own treasure, with Sooner or Later. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and sooner or later, we have to face facts. And we're going to start facing some facts today. Just to bring you up to date, Senator John McCain, who died this past Saturday at the age of 81 of brain cancer, lies in state at the Arizona Capitol today. There's a private ceremony that was conducted there, and then the public will be allowed to pay their respects, and then his body is going to be flown to Washington, D.C., where he will lie in state with full honors at the rotunda. So we're not going to discuss the brouhaha that President Trump had begun over whether Senator McCain was to be accorded full honors as a member of the U.S. Senate, as a prisoner of war, as an outstanding human being. But this is what's going on today. In Detroit, in the meantime, the Queen of Soul, the undisputed Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, lies in state, with thousands of people paying their respects to her. As you know, she died on August the 16th at the age of 76 after a battle with pancreatic cancer. She lies in state at the Charles H. Wright Museum for African American History. That began yesterday and continues today. Then on Friday, there will be a star-studded funeral service for her. And in the meantime, all of Detroit, as it seems, is intent on one thing, having the opportunity to bid her goodbye. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And today we're going to tackle two subjects that are very different from each other, but that raise some questions that we ought to ponder. A five-way primary race for governor in Florida, one of the largest swing states in the nation, ended with a bang last night, with a Bernie Sanders-backed come-from-behind candidate claiming the big prize. Andrew Gillum, the 39-year-old mayor of Tallahassee, now advances to the general election to face off against Republican nominee Representative Ron DeSantis. The question we should be pondering today, and this is not to take anything at all away from Gillum's own contribution to his success, but we're going to look at what degree that Bernie Sanders and a progressive movement behind him help bring victory to Andrew Gillum? Is this an indication that progressive power is taking hold? It's a question. No right or wrong, just your own opinion. As you know, Bernie Sanders had been criticized quite severely for being neither fish nor fowl, for starting a revolution that he seemed not too eager to even join, although it was formulated to advance his ideas. But now we see in this round of elections, we see some indications that progressives are beginning to step forward in a more decisive way. And it appears to be helping some candidates. We had Alexandria Ocasio, who had campaigned for several candidates. We'll see how those people that she supported, how they're going to be doing in the next round of elections. But the question is about this movement that is being seen as a progressive movement, and they're doing things that the Democrats are not doing. They're venturing out into the field. They are doing the work of supporting candidates that the Democrats seemed unwilling to support. They are even raising money. They are doing this time around what they hadn't done just in the last elections. And consequently, the party suffered tremendous blows. But here we have, it seems to me, a kind of realization that they can ill afford to stand aside and let the elections go without major input. As I said, Florida is a major state, swing state. It will be very important in the national election. But it had also not received very much attention from Democrats, more so Republicans, and that was late. The Republicans came to vigorous involvement in Florida pretty late. And then they just took it. They just took the state. They continued to invest in candidates in the state of Florida. They continued to push their agenda, and they succeeded quite a bit. They succeeded in Florida. So this election of Andrew Gillum hopefully can start a redirection in Florida. It is to be noted that a large part of his support came from predominantly communities of color. And that means that a lot of work was done there to shore up the vote because the complaint as regards Florida has routinely been that people are not turning out, blacks are not turning out, blacks are not supporting candidates, Latinos are not supporting candidates. And that is why Florida was lost to the Democratic Party. So, in your view, is this something, is this a hopeful sign? Did Bernie Sanders and others who were outside of the Democratic Party, did they play a pivotal role in scoring a victory here last night in the election of Andrew Gillum? He's all the way north in Tallahassee, and yet his a huge chunk of his support came from the south. And so the question still stands. And I think it is an interesting thing because I want to see how the Democratic Party establishment will deal with this. Are they going to be, I mean, they're going to be glad, of course, that they scored a victory here. But will there be some kind of resentment? Would it also stand a chance of backfiring against Sanders for basically getting very exercised about supporting Gillum, which led to a victory last night? A very uncomfortable position because the Democrats, as you know, have not been as forward-thinking as they ought to be. But here we had an quote outsider, if you will, and I'm not saying that in a pejorative way, but there wasn't a high-profile Democrat. There wasn't a cadre of high-profile Democrats working the state for Gillum. But we did see a very exercised Bernie Sanders, you have to call it as you see it, and people from outside the establishment Democratic Party putting up money, getting into the streets. And talking to people about this candidate that they were very excited over. So, what do you think about that? How is this going to be received? Is this to be received as a message that progressives are approaching politics very differently in terms of a coalition type tactic? Is this going to be tolerated by the Democratic Party? I'm sure they're happy they got a win, and it's a significant win because nobody expected it. But is there going to be some kind of pushback against Sanders for overstretching himself once again and showing up, even though that's not, I imagine that's not his intention at all to embarrass the Democratic Party, but the party establishment would read it as such. You know, you're way too deep into our affairs. Thanks for your help, but we'll take it from here. What do you think? 888-874-4888. The other topic I want to talk about is the matter of the church, the Catholic Church, that is, and sex crimes. Pope Francis, as you know, just recently concluded a trip to Ireland. It was the first papal visit in almost 40 years. But it was not the triumph hoped for. To the contrary, it served as a backdrop for renewed demands by angry and tormented Catholics that the Church respond forthrightly to this epidemic of sex abuse, especially against children, by priests and church officials who have been immunized by the culture of silence and cover-up within the Church. We discussed this before. This is just as Pope Francis was preparing to go to Ireland. He met with a lot of resistance there. And more than that, he met with demands that he resign because it is the view of a movement or people within the church that, as liberal and forward-thinking as Francis was seen to be, that he, in fact, is not doing what he ought to do, or what they want him to do, which is to break this thing wide open, and in doing so, bring the matter before the world, because we don't even have exact numbers of cases. We have numbers of cases that have been reported. But more and more, even in Ireland where he went, you're starting to see stories about how the Catholic Church literally participated in a kind of genocidal action against single mothers, destroying their babies, forcing terminations of their pregnancies and so forth. And this is not just, a few cases. We're talking about thousands and tens of thousands of cases of extreme abuse in Ireland and all over the Catholic world. We have cases in which nuns have been identified for since many years ago as being agents of genocidal acts, especially in the developing world. So now even historians are interested in finding the graves of people who have been murdered and people who were tortured to death by agents of the Catholic Church. When Pope Francis came into the fullness of his role as the leader of a church with more than with almost 2 billion members, people were hopeful because he sounded like a progressive. I hate to use that word after having just used it in connection with politics, but in terms of church politics, he was seen as a progressive person. And now we have movements developing, very aggressive movements developing, to expose the church's sordid history with regard to sex abuse and other related major, what they consider major sins that the church as a body allegedly has committed. And we're getting from this forward-thinking Pope a same silence, the silence treatment. So what should be done here? I mean, we can't make policy for the church, but we can see that there's a legitimate argument to be made about whether the church, because it is the church, should enjoy exceptional protections under the law all over the world. These crimes are crimes as defined by law. And no pope so far has engaged with this issue as such. They've engaged with the issue, but within the confines of the church. And they've been permitted, the church has been permitted to deal with these serious matters internally. I'd like to know your views about that. Should the Catholic Church or any other religious institution be allowed to enjoy a kind of immunity from prosecution simply because they are a religious order, a religious institution? And specifically as it relates to the Catholic Church, do these reports, many of which have been quantified, even by the law, by law enforcement authorities outside of the church, We see no further action. We see the attempt to just, hush it up, come to, quote, settlements, unquote, quietly, and to move on. Is it time that the Catholic Church be subjected to the same treatments as any other group or institution or persons engaging in unlawful and illegal activity? So your calls and comments about either of these two stories at 888-874-4888. And please stay on point. Okay, let's take this little break and to give you some time to compile your thoughts, and we will come right back to your comments right after this.
Pressure is all around. Sit around and hesitate. Say you're waiting for a lucky break. Life for living. Better use your sense.
You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead. And what are your thoughts at 888-874-4888 on the two topics I raised today? Jeff from New Jersey, you start us off.
Hey, good afternoon. Hope
good
everything
afternoon.
Is well with the PRN family and yourself.
Thank you.
This actually seems to be two sides of the same coin. When you're talking about the Pope and you're talking about Bernie Sanders, somewhere earlier this year, he declared he was not going to run for president. That was his kind of compromise. They said, I believe that he was, they let him know that he was never going to be president running on that ticket and that they would stop him in any way possible. So, and that to me was, kind of the signal where he was a little pissed off, where he says, well, I'll run as a Democrat in this state for the Senate, which was a compromise. But then he said, I'm switching back to independent, kind of basically like, all right, yeah, I'll fulfill this, but now I'm going back to what I was going to be. And what he did, what Bernie did, and I think we have to step back from criticizing him a little bit for doing what he did. But what he did was lead the horse to the water. And right now, it's our time to drink. It's us. It's up to the people, because just like Ozzie Davis said to the civil rights activists back in the 60s, I beg you, have more than one leader. Do not put all your eggs in one basket, because if that person goes down, so goes the movement. And it's the same thing here. Bernie Sanders has planted seeds all over the country. And make no mistake, being dissatisfied with the now conservative Democrats and the ultra-conservative Republicans, that people have had enough. And so they're going to, they're looking for the other party. I still believe that we need a third and fourth party. But because we may see some of these Democrats fold as they get into power and get into the system, because then they have to follow, they don't have to follow the system, but they more than likely will follow the system. But what Bernie Sanders has done is he's basically said, people, stand up for yourself. These ideas are not, he showed everyone that these ideas are not far-fetched, that a lot of people have these ideas. Now it's time for you to win your state. It's time for you to win your Senate seats. It's time for you to win your House seats. And now put it together so that we can move forward. But he's the one that led. He's the one that planted the seeds. He took these ideas and put them in the mainstream. So his job, he's an old man. His job is done. It's up to us to continue on. It's the same.
You're retiring, Bernie?
Well, I'm not retiring him, but, he's gone as far as he can go. because there are things in place that will stop him. You know, but it's the same thing with the Pope now. The Pope is going to come out and said as much, and be realistic. For the Catholics right now, to recall the Pope is not going to change a damn thing, or to get him fired, to get him removed. It's not going to change a thing. All right, what they have to do is change their own church. There are 1 billion members in the Catholic Church, more people around the earth than there are in the Vatican. And if you tell the Vatican, we're not giving you any more money. We're not doing, we will practice our Catholic religion, but we're not giving you any more money. And I'll be damned if there was a priest who put his hands on my child and he didn't end up in the effing ditch. Okay? There's no way that you do that stuff in a community and you can still walk around. I don't care what you have on your head and what you have around your neck. Right? And this is what is being called on to do for these people. Do not wait. The Pope cannot change this culture. He can denounce it. He can even bring some people up on charges. But is that going to change the pedophilia? No, it's
but
not.
The question, still is, are these charges that you refer to, are they to remain strictly within the purview of the church?
Oh, no. That's the other part of it. Because if it occurs in your community, if an offense occurs in your community, it doesn't matter what church they're from or what background they're from, what religious group, what political group they're from. It's an offense. And there are laws. If it occurs, and this is one of the things with the Pope, he cannot go around to every jurisdiction and say to them, prosecute this guy, because that's not within his power. That's within the people's power. Why haven't they gone to the churches? Why haven't they gone to the churches or the seminaries and picked these people out, put them in handcuffs, or tied them? You know, when I was down in Guyana, there was 3 bandits that went around robbing farms, and one of the farmers happened to ring a bell and they shot him. But you know what? They caught them 3 bandits, and the people marched the bandits through the streets. And they did some things to them on the way, stripped them down naked, and they, you know, hit them in sticks and stones, and they marched them in the phrase in the paper was these bandits were rescued by police. And that is exactly what needs to happen. It doesn't have, once you set that standard, that you don't come in this neighborhood, these are the consequences, we don't have to do that all the time. But we have to start drawing a line and stop sitting back and letting other people or giving the charge to other people to do the prosecuting that we should be doing, or doing the arrests that we should be doing, and putting these people into jail, or put them in at least into the criminal justice system, at least in front of a judge.
Well, you got us started, and you got us started very, very well. Thank you so much, Jeff, for your call today. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Yatrice. I actually have an opinion on both subjects, and I'll try to keep it short. I wonder about the timing of what's going on with the Catholic Church. This stuff's been going on for years. My mother, you know, has always told us as far back as, you know, we have a huge rift with the Catholic Church in our family. Half of our family is Catholic, the other half is Protestant, and it's like civil war. But it truly is. My father is from the South, my mother's from the North, and my mother's brother had 13 children. They live in a row house in Philadelphia, one room for the boys, one room for the girls, and the parents. And then my mom was on the front line of the women's movement with pro-choice. Okay, so that's where we are in my family. So there's a lot of heat going on there. And, a friend asked me several times when these things do come up is to look at the timing of when it is coming up, because they certainly have known for many, many years that it's been there. And what happens when you start closing churches down? In Manhattan, I sort of had it out with this big, gigantic guy tearing down a church yesterday. He was huge, and he's pouring cement with a big cigar hanging out of his mouth. And I said, you're tearing this church? And I said, yeah, we're tearing this church. And I said, there's something really wrong with this. Now, I do think that there's a lot of pedophilia in the Catholic Church, and if they had the will to fix it, they would fix it. However, I also think churches have their place in our society. I really, really do. And I think there's a lot of pedophiles in politics that would love to see an open field, just open season on everything. So in a way, churches are very underpopulated, but they're still there. I still think they have a role to play, and I still think that, you know, these ministers and these priests, well, I think we ought to give them the right to marry, first of all. I mean, that might help this if they could get married. But, you know, there's also something really creepy about a personality that would come in and be, going after children. I mean, there's really something wrong with that. You know, little boys, there's something wrong with that person. So it's weird that that church attracts that kind of personality. But just let me skip over to the politics real fast, because you do know that I love Bernie. And I don't think he's an old man. He's as old as my husband was. And I'll tell you what, both of them are in better shape than a lot of the millennials I know. So give me a break on that crap. I don't believe that. I do think he's probably going to have the rub the wrong way. Oh, by the way, ask Gary Noel. 73 is nothing today. Nothing. He will give you the vitamins to continue to go, but you can go. But what makes me upset about this, the movement I see, are all the creeps that supported Hillary Clinton that globbed on and called themselves progressives, like Mayor de Blasio and Melissa Mark Viverito, who basically helped to ruin his chances of getting on the ballot in New York City. They let the election get stolen. 350 ballots went missing, you know, and that was on their watch. So I just find it hard to believe that all of a sudden there are these real progressive Bernie candidates. And I want people to be, I want you to have your eyes and your ears open. Look at the record of what these people have done. Bill de Blasio simply carried through Mayor Bloomberg's massive displacement policies of gentrification. You need to look at this stuff. I don't care what they're talking about, race and all that other crap, because they talk a game that's so easy to talk about. Pro-choice is very easy to talk about. You know, prejudice is easy to talk about. But we 52,000 people went homeless under Mike Bloomberg, and now it's up to 72,000 people in New York City. Melissa Mark Viverito led the way in New York City as the speaker. So you need to look at the deeds of the people. I don't want to just hear the rhetoric. I want to see what they're doing. And I'm kind of wondering why a true progressive candidate would hang on or allow these kind of creeps to infiltrate their supposedly higher ground. And I just want to say one last thing. All these groups like the Working Families Party, this is a bunch of crap. They are nothing but an extension of the Democratic Party. There is nothing progressive at all. They never take a risk on anybody. They took a risk with Cynthia Nixon because she can bankroll herself. But other than that, they do not take a role. They don't take a role in protecting smaller candidates, and they, generally speaking, don't come out and ever support them.
So do you see the Democratic Party establishment being kinder and gentler to a Bernie Sanders, having played a critical role in the election of Andrew Gillum?
Well, the way I see it is it doesn't freaking matter. Okay, I don't think it matters because they're gonna be rolled out of the way whether they like it or not. So as I described, a lot of politicians are just like rodents. They just jump on the back whatever is moving. So, you know, I saw as soon as the young lady won from the Bronx, I'm so sorry, I can't remember her name, or first name. We'll take a moment here. But as soon as she won, I started hearing all these so-called progressive Democrats like Cory Booker, whose prescription for healthy family living is to blow up all the projects in New Jersey. This is not what you do. This is not how you save things or protect people. That's just not the way to do it. But, you know, he knew he could see what's going on in the tea leaves. They know that people are frustrated. They know what happened with Trump, and they know that we're going to move to the left whether they like it or not. So I don't see them trying to take down Bernie. I see them trying to suck up to Bernie the way Bill de Blasio did. I saw it in person. Right after he rigged the election, Bernie was here in New York, and de Blasio's up there practically peeing his pants. He's so excited. But you know what? Where was he the day that we lost 350,000 ballots? Where was he then? Where were all these fabulous progressives then? So what I say to people that are going to be voting this time, please check people's record out. Please find out if these people are the people that are voting to get you out of your apartment, that are voting to displace you, that are voting to upzone you and outzone you. Make sure you look at this stuff. It's very important.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ernest. Okay. Ernest from Yonkers. What are your thoughts?
Hi, you treats. Hi. I can't stay too long because I was waiting for a little while. But I just wanted to comment on the Pope. You know, looking at the newspaper, the Times article regarding the letter that came out on Saturday, allegations that the Pope knew about these other cases and he didn't take actions. But the people that are pushing behind this, or the Orthodox Catholics and bishops, they want him out. They want him out because he was, like you said, had some indication that he was moving into a different direction, progressive, etc. The Pope has to be careful what he does, and he also has to be careful what he says. I think he should come down a little bit stronger on those that committed these crimes and let it settle so he can move on with his plans. I'm telling you, they're hitting him from both sides, so he has to be careful how he approaches this. I just wanted to comment on that, and I'll hang up and listen. Thank you, Eutrey.
Okay, thank you so much. Well, this really is about your time to express yourself. I understand that you are a little rushed today. But the question I was going to ask you was, do you think, when all is said and done, the church is still allowed to basically handle the matter? And in a way that suggests that it enjoys a certain amount of protection from law enforcement authorities and other investigative bodies, when in fact it should be the opposite. Because if in doing this, I understand that the Pope and the Catholic Church is its own country, it has its own sovereignty, it makes its own laws, it has its own army and central bank and all of that stuff. But at the same time, this is a global matter of concern and of a criminal nature. And it seems to me that there has to be, or there ought to be, a role for some kind of law enforcement or investigative body to really handle the matter, since it's clear that the church either won't do it or can't do it. But in any event, crimes have been committed. That's the main focus that I have. Crimes, serious crimes have been committed and must, in my view, they have to be accounted for. Somebody's got to find out who's responsible. But to simply say that, as the Pope has said, you know, he's so ashamed and he begs for forgiveness and all that is good, but it does not get at the bottom line, which is these are very serious crimes committed over a long period of time by many, many individuals, costing thousands of lives. How is it that the church still manages to enjoy a kind of immunity? That is a very serious question. But thank you. Thanks so much for your call. Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrey.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay. Feeling better now that you've called.
Listen, you did a program on Brother Burns. You see what I'm saying? Quite some time ago. And,
yes.
You know, what amazes me is what are we saying? I think PRN and the radio station and the people in the radio station, you're doing a wonderful job, all of you are, because most of us who have lost our minds, you are there to revive us mentally.
How do you know that I haven't lost my mind too?
No. The people in PRN, for the way I introduced PRN to everybody else, all of you back come in contact. And I explained to them, see, I know for many, many years that you've lost your mind because somebody has taken your mind. But PRN will help you to reclaim your mind.
But, so what are your thoughts about the subjects that we raised today?
Okay, Brother Bernie, right? The last time he burnt us, right? And he's back again. Now, what is he going to do with this time? set us on fire?
Well, look, for argument's sake, recognize that, okay, this time in Florida, I mean, this was a great accomplishment. This was a big deal, the election of Gollum. The likelihood that he may go on and seal the deal and be declared governor of the state, of a large swing state, the state of Florida. And by the way, it should not be lost on anybody. He's an African-American man. So on several levels, this is an accomplishment. But from your view, why should you or should we remain suspicious of Bernie's motives if, at least in this instance, he delivered a pretty good outcome?
Okay. If you've lost your mind, I agree with you 100%. But just look back and look at your president, last president, 44. Now, they weren't shooting and choking us all over this country. But under him and the attorney general, they were their brothers and sisters. And they're choking and shooting us. So what does that tell you? It's very simple. Both parties, the only things I know that have two wings are insect and birds. Well, you have a right wing and a left. It's the same thing. So you'd be really out of your mind to think the Democrats are any different than the Republicans and the Green Party. It's the same thing. How long will it take for us to understand these? This has nothing to do, as far as I'm concerned, this has nothing to do with us. My concern
Let me ask you. So would it have been preferred by you that Gollum should have gone his own way on his own strength, and whatever happens, happens. And although with Bernie's help, he managed to win. This is a major win. You're discounting that.
It has nothing to do with us, because both parties see us in the same light. We must crush these people. Bottom line. So it makes no difference which one wins. What we should be concerned with is what are we doing for ourselves? What we should and will are doing for ourselves. See, disregard these people. Because, well, historically, you know what they've done. They've destroyed all of our leadership, our black organization, our progressive movement, all of them. So you know both sides has one agenda. It's to destroy these people. This one looking people. Simple. How long?
So you're dismissing this totally and saying instead focus on the bigger picture.
I have already seen that picture, you chief. From so many years, we've been Republicans, Democrats, whatever you want to be. Has that changed our condition as a people? Has it? You know, you're the historian, you're the teacher, you're the professor. Has it changed our condition?
Well, you know, it's a complicated question. There's no yes or no response to that. It's a very complicated thing.
Okay.
But I'm appreciating your point of view. For what it is. Let's see how it bounces off of other people. You're saying, don't get all excited either about Bernie Sanders' involvement and Gillum's win. Don't get excited, because it is still, when you look at it, it is still politics as usual.
When it comes to us, yes.
Okay, all right. Well, let's see how people react to that. Thanks, Willie, for calling in today. David from Brooklyn, your thoughts on either or both of these subjects that we
Yes,
today?
Let me follow up on what you were just talking about. I remember during the 60s, I think 1965 and so, you had a number of persons of color get into politics and get elected and whatnot. And that has, you know, increased somewhat up until the point when you even got the president, a person of color, being the chief executive of the empire. But the conditions have not changed. The same people in charge, the people at the top that rule, and they have just integrated, so to speak, people of color into the same system. So I'm not just impressed with a person's phenotype when it comes to who should get elected. So Bernie Sanders, who's called a progressive Democrat, is connected with the Democrat Party. And,
well, he's an independent, technically. He's
so-called independent.
Caucusing for the Democratic Party.
Right, right. So, but the conditions of a major capitalist division of the one party, that's Democrat and Republicans, which is, as I see it, one party. The people who, the capitalist leaders, they run both parties. And just shuffling around, putting some color in it, you know, some, you know, professional people of color in there, does not change the system at all. So, you know, I'm not that impressed, because I look at it as like the adding of people of color into the political arm of the Democrat Party that is run by those at the very top, the various corporate and financial institutions, it doesn't really change anything about the mission, which is to enrich the few at the expense of the many. And that includes most people of color and most white people and black people in the country. So, you know, that, I'm not impressed with that. So,
okay.
You know, it's
does
more
it,
to
let me. Ask you then, let me ask you something that
yes.
might be a bit of a challenge.
Yes.
Even so, and I appreciate your argument, do you appreciate the fact that in this instance, we do have a causal relationship, the involvement of progressives, if you will, Bernie Sanders being at a leader in this case,
right.
Influencing. Okay, hold on. Influencing.
Here's what I think about what you're saying. You know, I put that progressive in quotation marks. To me, that's not progressive. I think that Bernie Sanders is not progressive in all the areas that I'm concerned with, foreign policy and that sort of thing. That's not progressive.
Hold on.
Yes.
Whatever it is, he says he's not a Democrat, and he's mm-hmm. he identifies himself as an independent, caucusing with the Democrats on progressive issues. And here mm-hmm. we have in Florida, which, as you know, is a state with a peculiar history, and progressivism is not one of them. You have a man elected yesterday, just last night, who ran openly talking about minimum wage, $15 an hour, talking about criminal justice reform, talking about environmental issues. Many of the things in his platform reflected the platforms of progressives. So you're not even going to give him the number.
Well, I say that's nice, but there's a lot more that needs to be in the platform. How does he feel about foreign policy? You see, you can't leave those things out.
He's a governor. He's a governor now.
Yes,
he's a governor.
Yes, but, yes
that's,
oh, he might be a governor, but the point is that I'd just like to know what he thinks about these things, too. So, you know, I'm not impressed. I looked the whole person, not just the part. And before you integrate yourself into the cesspool and think that you're going to bring some so-called progressive issues in there and that's safe and you can impress certain people, that is not a guarantee to me that you're going to get anywhere when you have integrate yourself into the cesspool rather than starting your own system of clean water. So that's the way I feel about that. Now, the other thing is that you talked about the church, and I would say this, that in all institutions that deal with people and children especially, you're going to find a certain element of perverts and pedophiles, and that it's not just found in the Catholic Church. It's all over, you know, in schools and, you know, various other institutions. You're going to find people like that. And I agree with some of the callers who talk about that the state, the laws should take preference over just relating to that institution to clean up itself. And that's the way I feel about it. And, you know, people need to study the history of things that have happened. You think about, for example, the church. Let's go back to the Second World War and the crimes that committed by the German state over to various people running these concentration camps. I believe it was Christians doing that, you know. Mussolini was a Roman Catholic. I think Hitler was also, and many of the soldiers who went and who murdered those Jewish people and Roma and black folks and whatnot were Catholics and mostly Catholics, I guess, and Lutherans. So, you know, this is the type of thing that people need to recognize, that the church has had many situations where it has been involved in very disgusting things like that Holocaust during the Second World War and various things that occurred in this country and throughout the world. So pedophilia is not peculiar only to the Catholic Church. It's involved with many, many other religious organizations, including the Buddhists, who are supposed to be so peace-loving and whatnot. Look what's going on with the Buddhists now. And It's not just the Catholic Church. That's the way I feel.
It's not just the Catholic Church, but the point is that the difference here, it's a very important difference, and that is the documentation of these crimes and the proof of these crimes in the numbers that they have been committed, and the consequence doesn't seem to be there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that's an issue that the church, all over these decades and decades, has just adamantly refused to address the matter and deliver justice. These are crimes.
Right, and it's, you know, with the pedophilia and other abuse, for example, I don't know if people have had the chance to see the film, The Magdalen Sisters, about those sisters, nuns in Ireland, and how they abuse these girls and women and whatnot. I mean, it's terrible, terrible. I saw that. It was a terrible situation. So it's not just the male priests, but nuns are involved also in abuse. So, you know, I think that the takeaway message is that these people should be handled with the laws that are in effect in the various countries and states where these things are happening.
What do you think of the growing demand? It's not, you know, at fever pitch just yet, but a growing demand that the Pope resign.
Well, I don't know if that will solve the problem. I would suspect. I'm sure the Catholic Church has its intelligence division and whatnot, and they probably knew about these things going on way before this Pope got there. You know, so I don't think this is going to change much. I mean, you'll get a new Pope. Or maybe someone is saying, well, we'll get a new Pope to clean house or something. I don't know. But this is peculiar to many, many religious organizations, including the Catholic Church. And I don't know how you're going to solve this. I mean, you're going to get pedophilia in many, many places. And that's, and no one is exempt from having to deal with that.
All right. So no special feeling about the new gubernatorial candidate who is going up for election. No heartstrings going there.
No. What you know, he's going to have to integrate himself. Just like those other people I call, we used to call Negroes, they got into the Democratic Party and got on the Congressional Black Caucus and got into this and got into that, got on committees and maybe even got to be committee chairs, but it didn't change the system at all. You know, they just integrate themselves into the cesspool. So, you know,
I can't argue with you on that point. Right. Thanks so much for calling in today. Thank you all for calling in and contributing your thoughts so freely and causing us in turn to consider the problems that we discussed today and the issues we discussed today, perhaps from a different perspective. If we accomplished just that, we would have accomplished a lot. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned. Keep it right here. And we see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Everybody get you down. Pressure is all around. You sit around and hesitate. Say you're waiting for that lucky break. Life for living. Better use your sensor.